Our reading this evening is from Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. This portion of scripture includes six woes. Woe unto you, Jesus says. We live in a world that only wants to see success. They want to see happiness, and they tend to hide the failure and the real misery that is there. A church also is included in that. A world that is unbalanced. And as Christians, we tend to follow that trend as a church. We have different sort of blends of Christianity that create teachings like prosperity teaching that promotes a belief that all Christians should have success, material wealth, and be upwardly mobile. How that reflects on the third world, I find very difficult. But we Christians, we still promote those passages in Scripture that add to that idea. All Christians know of the Beatitudes in Matthew. Let's just read those a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, yes. We seem to dwell on the blessed bit, and yet there is suffering there as well. And many unbelievers know about the Beatitudes, and they too dwell on the blessings that they think they also should have. How many, both Christians and non-Christians, know the woes of the Bible? It's an unpopular thing, isn't it? We don't hear the bad things that might be in store for us. Luke, in his treatment of the Beatitudes, actually put blessing and woes together. He balances them out so that people can understand maybe a bit better. And here in this passage before us, we have six references of woe, finishing with our readings. Woe unto you, lawyers. Now many of us might say, but this is written to those who oppose Christ, even the enemies of Christ, those who are opposed to his teachings, those who are trying to bring him down. But these are the Pharisees, the scribes, the leaders, the teachers of the Jewish people. They have been given God's word. They are following God's word. Are we not also people of God and following his word? In each one of these woes, we can see a reflection of ourselves, the church of God. And each one should seek for that piece of scripture to speak to themselves and to our responsibility to others. We can learn not only from what is said, but also what is taking place at this table. From the beginning of this piece of scripture, Jesus has been speaking. In verse 37 it says, "And he spake, and then a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat." He was invited to eat with the Pharisees. He knew what they thought of him. He knew the sort of questions that they were asking him. He knew the sort of hindrance that they were to him and his ministry. And yet he sat with them and dined with them and ate with them and shared with them. Even in this we can learn. There are times we need to relate to those who oppose us. Those who would say bad things about us. Those who would think terrible things about us. We need to relate to the worldly people. Even to share the hospitality. But as our Lord shows, it is not an excuse to give up our ground. To ignore our word of God. Jesus is criticised in the hearts of these Pharisees. For he did not wash. It is the custom of the Pharisees to wash before they eat. It was not ordered by the Old Testament. This was an addition to the Mosaic law. This was something put on by the Pharisaical party to make them a bit closer to God, to make them a bit holier. Jesus didn't do as their tradition that they invented says. We too should not follow the world when we sit and dine with them. We follow God's command and no other. We do not add to Scripture. We abide by Scripture. When pressured to do so, we should state our case and correct the falsehood that some would have us follow. We should stand our ground. I was amazed to see the other week that our ambassador of this country to Iran, spoke out at the treatment by his Iranian counterparts. Ambassadors should be respected. But he spoke out and spoke to the public. He had been ignored. He had been verbally abused. And yet he stood his ground and said this wasn't on. And he told the truth of his position. Not to us, but to the Iranian public and to the world. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ignored. We are abused. But that should not dissuade us from speaking out the truth, as Jesus did with these Pharisees. He speaks to them. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." Is that so with most, if not all? The scribes, the Pharisees, were cleaning the exterior of their vessels. But it was their hearts and their minds that needed the cleansing. This world we live in is very much like that. All that is wrong is hidden. Not so the world would like to see. They avoid the light that would reveal their darkness. There's a sad story in the press of a couple with two children. From the outside, all was okay. The man, yes, had been made redundant. And with that redundancy money, he did the outside of his house up. He looked respectable. He looked successful. But he didn't find another job. Things were going wrong in his life. He hid it. Everybody thought he was doing well. Then one day, he kills his wife and takes his own life, leaving his children behind. He had no money. He'd overextended himself. He was in debt. It was all a sham. But from the outside, it looked okay. He lost hope. Our hope is in Jesus. We do not need to hide behind lies and deceit, but we hold up the truth. Woe to you, Jesus says, verse 42. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all the manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. These men tithed. They gave a 10% of everything they had to their religion, to the smallest detail. I say religion because that's what they gave it to, for their relationship with God was wrong. It was right to tithe, and yet they were missing. It was all a show of their position. The people could look up to them and say, look how they give. But they lacked compassion. Compassion for the poor. And did not seek the justice that was for the weak. It's a warning for us all. We can become very religious. We'll have our traditions. And yet sometimes it blocks us off from the rest of the people, from helping those who are needy, to help to find justice for those who are weak. We can become very much like these Pharisees. Woe to you, he says in verse 43, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. They're hogging the important seats. You say, oh yes, you expect that from Pharisees. But don't we see it in the Corinthian church? A Christian church, right at the beginning, that letter to Corinthians, doesn't it criticise them for overlooking the poor and grabbing the greater seats? This is not to the Pharisees. It's to us as well. We shouldn't be lording it over others. In Peter's letter, it says that, doesn't it? Don't lord it over the others, those entrusted to your care. You're there to be servants, as Jesus was a servant. Verse 44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. They are like unmarked gravestones. Now for a Jew to walk over an unmarked gravestone would make them unclean. They would have to avoid others until they'd been ritually cleansed. The Jews, as was their custom, actually painted their gravestones. They whitewashed them so they were visible and nobody would accidentally walk into one or over one. Jesus was saying, by associating the Pharisees with these, the people were being led astray without them actually knowing. It was like, if you put the modern equivalent, it was like they'd stood on an anti-personnel mine. They were being destroyed spiritually without the slightest knowledge. People were looking up to them. Follow those people because they seem to be holier than us and we want to be like them. Jesus was at this moment flagging up, beware of unclean teaching. We have so much of it, don't we? So much of it. Leaders of churches leading people away without them realising. Our churches in this country are full of such minds, undermining Christ's deity, undermining the word of God. People will say such things as, oh, that's not relevant for today. It doesn't apply here. The Old Testament doesn't apply. We have a different God of the New Testament. I've heard people say this. Science has disproved all that. The people are being led astray. They don't know it, or they don't care. Woe to you. People will say, "Bob, but this piece of scripture doesn't apply to us." As I said, these are the opposition of Jesus. And that's what these lawyers, these scribes are actually saying in verse 45. "Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thou saying thou reproachest us also." Don't include us with the Pharisees. Don't include us with what they do. We're above that. The scribes were Pharisees, so they were of the Pharisaical party, but they saw themselves above them. And now they were saying, perhaps that doesn't apply to us. Never be that self-righteous person, for God will point out your faults and your sins, as Jesus does now. We are righteous, not through what we have done, but only through the sacrifice of Christ. No wonder he says in verse 46, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." Lawyers have a bad name in any case. We know they use confusing language. But they're professional in what they do. They explain it and make sure that everything goes right legally. These people have been re-clarifying God's law. These scribes. So the lives of the people became more difficult. They were enough laws, and these guys were multiplying them up and confusing the people. They were doing so also for themselves, for getting positions of power, for bringing in the money. For lawyers are very expensive people. Even today we see that Orthodox Jews live lives more difficult than most. They divide up their kitchens into two separate areas. One for meat, one for dairy. There are so many legalities about their life. You say, "Oh, this doesn't apply to us." Well, it does. Don't we see the Pharisaical party in the New Testament trying to lead people back to these laws? And don't we see the same Pharisaical parties within churches nowadays trying to hold us back with reinvented laws, reinvented traditions that even deny the word of God? Woe to you, verse 47. Woe to you unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. These scribes, these Pharisees, were descendants of those that killed the prophets. And now, what were they doing? They were honouring the prophets. They were building tombs and monuments to them. It's all well and good to honour a person. It's easy to honour a person, but to ignore their word. They still ignored the message. They still denied what the prophets had brought forward to them. For the prophets were speaking of Jesus. And were they not opposing him face to face at this moment? They were as bad as their forefathers who had killed the prophets. But are we not doing the same? Many died to bring the word of God to this nation. But they're being forgotten. Next month, this nation has invited the Pope, which had already been mentioned, to celebrate and beatify John Newman. Newman, a man who tried to turn the Reformation upside down and deny the true words of God. Jesus mentions Abel and Zechariah, who were put to death by the forefathers of these people. Don't we? Can't we put the names of our saints, our brethren that have died for the word of God in place of these two, instead of Abel and Zechariah, in verse 51, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Can't we replace their names with others like Luther and Cranmer and Ridley and so many more? For Christ has sent these people. He says here that I have therefore also said the wisdom of God. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. And they have been slain, they have been persecuted. And it will continue. Every nation, every generation that rejects the prophets of God will be judged. Just as these scribes were judged, for their whole nation was overtaken and scattered through the world. Can we expect anything so different? We look upon our nation and see how powerful we are. But it is God that upholds us, and He can change things just by a word. It's no wonder, He says, as our reading started, woe to you experts, woe to you lawyers. These people were meant to take God's word and expound it and explain it to the people that they might know of God and live holy lives. We have experts today. We have preachers of God's word. There are scriptures that we don't know, we don't understand, we don't find easy to read. They need explaining. The principles need being brought out from the ancient texts and reapplying them for today's needs. Yet we have so many preachers discarding the word of God and preaching a different gospel, a false gospel. Even to the point of feeding the bread and wine to his dog. What is happening to our leaders and preachers today? They need to seek again. These scribes were lost themselves and they hindered others. We have leaders like that. We have had good preachers who have brought and taught the gospel. The Bible is now accessible to all in this country who can read. And yet we take this for granted. Jesus left those Pharisees and scribes. They did not listen. They did the exact opposite. They sought his downfall, trying with all their might to bring about his undoing. We continue Christ's work today. We have the same opposition, but we continue in the same attitude to bring before all we meet the gospel of Christ. To open up the way for people's salvation. Let us not give ground when we meet with them. But we need to recognise these woes. They not only apply to other people, they apply to us. We need to seek God out. Seek His forgiveness. That we might be open to others. And offer others that hope that we have received. That we might be blessed by Christ. Amen.